Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Now, you may have been watching the news lately while you're going to Genesis chapter 10, verse 1, and you may have noticed where Russia and North Korea are now involved with Iran as of May 15, 2019. Or you may have noticed where Tehran, which is in Iran, has a weapon system that they are actually buying weapons from North Korea and, Russia, and they're involved together in gaining weapons. Now, I need to show you something. Go to Genesis 10. Genesis 10 is called the Table of Nations. Now, how many of you ever had your DNA done through Ancestry.com or any of those organizations? You know what your DNA says? Me too. DNA in its earliest form had the ability to tell me or you where we came from. It could clearly tell me in the infancy of DNA testing that I am 11% Italian, 78% Great Britain and Ireland, and there's a 1% Jew somewhere in me, and I'm not sure where he came from. But they know how to tell where you came from, even in the beginning of DNA. Now, here's what you need to know in your notes to write down. They have never been able to prove fallacy in Genesis 10. Even before the creation of DNA, and it's interesting that the guy who was on the genome project for DNA for the president of the United States is a born-again Christian. But DNA, when it was established, helped even prove it further. So before DNA and being able to trace your ancestry, Genesis 10 stood the test of time. But even after DNA, when we know exactly through the bloodline of how someone came into the residence they're in right now and where they came from, we've known that it's very sure science. So we know where people came from. And Genesis 10 talks about that. Now, focus in on Genesis chapter 10, verse 22, and let me show you something. Because what we're going to do is, once I start in a minute, we're going to look at Iran in the news, we're going to look at Iran as Christians, we're going to look at Iran in the Bible, we're going to look at what the Bible says about Iran in the future very quickly. So when you look at Iran, chapter 10, verse 22, you see Shem, which is one of the sons of Noah, or Elam. So what I need you to know real quick is that there's also a passage that talks about one of the sons of Noah having a son named Nimrod. We know that's Sargon. We know who he is. We know he built cities. We know that exactly what the Bible says about Nimrod actually took place. I talk about it a lot in Lethal Faith. We've got his picture. There's a picture of him there. And so when you begin to look at Iran, you have to start with the word Elam, because Elam is Iran. Iran wasn't Iran as far as the name of the country until the early 1900s. And actually, you could push it back to 1502, but we ain't got time to talk about that. So when you see the word Elam, or you see the words Medes, or the word Persians, Daniel uses these words a lot. All three of these are references to the people in the geographical geography of the people of Iran. Now, let's look at what the news says. Look up here, Pastor. Here's Farsi-speaking people. I've actually done a lot of work with Farsi-speaking people. Your church, actually, in the underground church of Iran and Turkey, your pastor met with a lot of these people, hundreds of them, actually, Farsi-speaking people. Your church trained over 1 million people 2 years ago in a secret location of the underground church of Iran. Give God praise for that, amen, because there's a great Christian revival going on in Iran. But so when you see the word Farda, or Farsi, you're talking about Iranian speech, okay? So here's the news from the general of Iran as of May 25th, 2019. Advisors say Iran guards may sink U.S. ships using two top secret weapons. That's why we're in the trouble right now with our country and Iran, because of these two ships that had weapons on them that our government caught. Now here's another Farsi-speaking news agency. These aren't necessarily Christians. Zarif says U.S. troops deployment to the Persian Gulf is very dangerous. Zarif is the Iranian foreign minister, May 24, 2019. So the the foreign minister of Iran is saying, America, you better back off because you're in danger. Now, the Guardian newspaper says that Iran tells Middle East militias, prepare for war, and begins to talk about how the guy that heads up the military for the Middle East in Iran says, we're getting ready for war. Now, stop here. I want every one of you to go Google tonight something for me. I want you to go Google, I want you to go YouTube, number one. Punch in the word Iran and punch in the word death to Israel and watch the videos. There's dozens of them unedited on the internet. Farsi-speaking newspaper again, so an Iranian newspaper. U.S. to send additional 1,500 troops to the Middle East for a protective role. The White House reviews military plans, the New York Times says, and echoes of an Iraq war against Iran. Al Jazeera, which is a Muslim newscast, Trump threatens Iran's end if it seeks to fight the U.S. And May 20th, 2019, Trump said, Iran, you touch America, it'd be the end of you. Well, that's not going to be true because God says, I will be the end of Iran. I'll show you that in just a minute. This newspaper right here, USA Today, says aircraft carrier bombers shifted to Middle East to send very loud message to Iran. Right here it is. Iran moving ballistic missiles by boat. U.S. military website says that they caught them moving these. Now, in this news, Fox News, it says Iran quadruples production of enriched uranium. You have to have uranium to make nuclear bombs. Now, the head of Iran's IRGC commander, who is the head of war, says, our aim is to annihilate Israel. April 23rd, 2019. Here's his picture and here's his story. All throughout the Bible. Now, what gets further interesting is if you go to Homeland Security for the United States, you will see under the degrees of cyber war, where Russia agrees to sell S-300 missiles to Iran. It's interesting. And then you see where Russia plans to sell Iran up to $8 billion worth of weapons after this first article. This is 2016, January 28th. Russia plans to sell Iran $8 billion worth of weapons. And then if you go to August 1st, 2017, when U.S. sanctions backfire, Russia and Iran partner up for a $2.5 billion deal. Now, it gets interesting because Iran's top leaders say this, that the end of the days has come. Now, let me explain to you what I just said. If you're Iranian and you are a Muslim and you're a radical jihadist, you are waiting on the Mahdi. The 12th Imam. The Mahdi or the 12th Imam is the same person, but it is a representation or a type of Jesus Christ, a Messiah who's going to come back and deliver Islam as the predominant religion in the world. So they're awaiting. Now, Ahmadinejad, the former president of Iran, has already said, I spoke to the 12th Imam. The leaders that are in Iran now, this morning, are calling for the 12th Imam and the Mahdi, both the same person. But what most newscasts will never tell you is that right along with the arrival of the Mahdi or the 12th Imam, their prophet, who's going to come back to earth, Jesus will accompany him. And that Jesus will come back with the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, and Jesus will say to the world and you and me, I lied to you. I had the first same reaction in the first service. And Jesus is going to say, I never died on the cross. I faked it. I'm a liar. And I'm here to tell you that Allah and Allah alone is God. How many of you know pockycock when you hear it? All right. Now, moving right along. When you look at Iran's escalating war when it comes to Christians, here's what's happening. I showed you the news as of May 26, 2019, but Christians are being arrested for apostasy and blasphemy and promoting Christianity in Iran. You have to understand how a Muslim sees nationalism. A Muslim sees nationalism as part of their identity. You cannot remove Islam from a Muslim and their national identity. You can be a Christian and be a Muslim. You can be a Christian, or American, be a Buddhist, be American, be a Muslim, be American, be a Christian. You'll be whatever you want to in America. That's not the way it is in other parts of the world, especially with Muslims in places like Iran. You can't be a Christian Iranian, and I know thousands of them. I've met hundreds of them. And so what's happening with our brothers and sisters? Iran's forgotten persecuted Christian minority. What newspaper is this? This is Fox. It actually says that this Christian, Bashir, who was sentenced with 10 other Iranians in prison for 1 year because they propagated against the Islamic Republic. That's exactly what I just told you. Another Christian who was evangelical, which means they're like you and me, was sentenced to 10 years for having a church in a house. Another Pentecostal pastor named Pastor Victor, with three of his members, were sentenced to 10 to 15 years in hard labor because they were Christians. When you look at Christian persecution, in this website that guards these things, it says that they are put in prison and they solicit a confession. They resort to violence, physical and psychological terror. They torture people mentally. They daily interrogate them. They beat them profusely for prolonged periods of time. They twist them with acts of persecution, like giving them tea and making them drink it. If they don't drink it, they beat them. And if they try to go to the bathroom, they kill them. So how many of you went to church today because you wanted to? Then you see where they have sleep deprivation. So when you look at Iran, you see where there are 62% of all Iranian Christians say they've experienced violence for being a Christian. 99% said they've experienced violence at church by going to church. 95% they said they experienced violence because they are a Christian and a member of Iran. They've experienced violence in their neighborhoods. 86%, 85% said they've experienced violence in their family life. It's because I know several like this. When you become a Christian and you're a Muslim, the first thing that usually happens to you is your dad tries to have you killed. And your mother. 84% in their private life. So the news says to us that Russia and Iran are in bed. That they're together in the end times. Right now, May 20. How many believe we're living in the end times? Because he has. Now grab your Bible. Let me go. Let me show you something. Go to Genesis chapter 10, verse 22. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 22, you will see where Elam, one of Noah's sons, is there. So you see Iran going all the way back to Noah and Noah's grandson, Shem. Now, go to Genesis chapter 14, verse 1. This is during the time of Abraham. He was called Abram. That's how back far we're going. And you see Chedorlaomer, who was the king of the Elam or the Elamites. The Elamites are Iranians. They're Persians. They're Medes. They're the exact geographical location of Iran today. So you see that they are there. Go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Daniel is actually in Iran. Most people don't realize that. Darius the Great and Cyrus the Great are all in the Susa, along with Esther in the Bible. They're in the Susa Palace. S-H-U-S-H-A-N is how it's spelled. Susa, S-U-S-A, is how it's pronounced. So Daniel and Esther and Belshazzar, all of these things are taking place in Iran. And you can see it right there where Daniel in chapter 7, verse 9, has a vision that you see in Revelation 4. And he tells in the vision that the empire is going to be defeated by the Persians. The Iranians are going to defeat the Babylonians, which is really interesting. You can see people like Nehemiah, Mordecai, Esther, Ezra, Zerubbabel, and Daniel, all within the Bible in Iran. Susa is in Iran. The Susa Palace that Esther talks about is in Iran. And then what you find is you find Alexander the Great comes along. And then Alexander the Great conquers Persia. And then Artaxerxes goes back before Alexander the Great. And those guys, we actually even have the bowl or Xerxes 8 off of every day. I got a picture of it in my book out there. Acts 29, everybody go there. Acts 29 verse 2. Say, Acts 29 to talk about Iran? Yes. Here's what a lot of people don't know. Go to Acts chapter 2 and let me show you something about Iran, about the Medes, about the Persians, about the Elamites. In Acts chapter 2 verse 8, on the day of Pentecost, when the church started and they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance, look who were some of the first Christians to speak in tongues. How is it, verse 8, that each of us hear them in our own language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia? So Iranians were some of the first people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now that gets real interesting to me. Now here's the point. When you look at what the Bible says about Iran, you see its history from the time of Abraham. You see its history going back before Abraham to the time of Noah, the son of Shem. You see its history in Ezra. You see its history in Cyrus the Great, in Darius the Great, in Xerxes. All these people are mentioned in the Bible. They're all throughout the Bible. Iran is prominent. And so we have a very good history of who Iran is and where they came from. But what does the Bible say about what's about to happen to Iran? I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 39. And so here's what the Bible says. The Bible predicts the destruction of Iran, and it will not be the U.S. government or Donald Trump. That I can promise you. I'm not saying there won't be a war, but there will be a destruction completely of Iran. The Bible has said that. Now, let me make something clear to you. If you are a preterist, there has never been a time in history when Iran has come against Israel except in 614 BC or 614 AD. And the time before that, in 586 BC, Iran actually helped Israel go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the gates of Nehemiah. Iran was the one who sent the Jews back to Israel. Farsi-speaking people. So this has never happened in history before. Number two, the Bible says it's going to happen in the last days. Now, you got to be careful because Acts chapter 1 says, in the last days. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Joel says, in the last days, an Old Testament book. But the last days is a reference to the things that are in the last days far away. But in Acts chapter 2, it's referring to the fact that the church started and now we're living in the last days. It didn't mean it's going to happen just in a few years. It means in a prolonged period of time. How many of you believe we're living in the last days? Let me see your heads. Well, here's what the Bible predicts about Iran in the last days. In the last days. Come along with me. First, I need you to know before I show you this is that the Bible does not tell us clearly if a rapture, how many of you believe in a rapture? Can I see your hands? I do. The Bible didn't tell us that a rapture is going to take place before this or after this. We don't know the answer. What I do know 100% today on Memorial Day is that everyone, watch my body language, everyone that's needed on the stage is now there. 3,500 years after the Bible started talking about it. 2,500 years after Daniel. They're all here. Let me prove it to you. Get your Bibles. That book is an amazing book. Can I get an amen? Let me sum it up for you and then we're going to dissect it. The Bible says that in the last days, how many of you believe we're living in the last days? Can I see your hand? I got to take my glass. Let me see your hands. Right. In the last days, Russia, and we know it's Russia, and we know Russia is Magog, and here's the reason why. Number one, Magog was referred to in the 10th century by the Greek poet. Magog was referred to as by the father of history in the Greek culture during the 10th century. Magog was referred to as Russia by Josephus Flavius in the first century. Magog was referred to as Russia, the province of Russia, by Piloesius, who was a writer and a historian in the first century. So we have a lot of people in the past who say clearly that Russia, Providence of Russia, is Magog. Now, don't you find it interesting that if you lived in the 80s like I did, and you were a teenager and you saw the collapse of the Soviet Union, and all these people who are antagonistic against Christians said, "I told you the Bible was wrong." They're not saying that today, are they? Everybody knows Russia's alive and well. Now, the Bible says that Russia and a guy named Gog, we know he's a guy because they use the personal pronoun he. And they use the word he with the words last days. That this guy, this leader, will lead Gog and Magog, which is definitely Russia. And that Russia will be the one who will give the money for exemplary weaponry to specifically Turkey, Sudan, Jordan, and first Iran. So Bible prophecy has already been fulfilled before your very eyes in your generation in the last 5 years. To the T. Now watch this. When you look at Ezekiel chapter 38 through 39, everybody go there with me. You will see that the Bible warns, number one, that the U.S., and it doesn't say U.S., but there will be a time when the U.S. will not stand by Israel. You look at the anti-Semitism in America today. Look at the anti-Semitism in, God of all places, Germany. In the news, Chuck, this morning, they told German Jews not to wear the kippah, the hat on their heads, because they would be targeted for persecution in Germany. So the Bible does predict that there'd be a rise of anti-Semitism, hatred, bigotry, and racism against Jews in the last days. Now watch this. And it says that America will be quiet. Go to Ezekiel chapter 38, look at verse 1 through 10. Let me go down through it. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog." Gog is a he, a personal pronoun, a major leader. "And set your face," God says, "against Magog," which is most certainly Russia. "And the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal," which is Turkey. "And I want you to prophesy, Ezekiel, against these countries." And then he says, "Behold, I'm against you." Now, when God says he's against you, you got some problems. But look at what God says. He says, "I," not Donald Trump, "I will turn you around. And I will put a hook in your jaws." So he says, Turkey, Iran, and Russia, I will put a hook in your jaws. Now, let me tell you something else to Google tonight, or when you're eating dinner in a moment. You go Google Israel and natural gas. You haven't heard it, and I've only heard it one time in the American news. About 7 years ago, Israel found the largest deposit of natural gas in the world. I mean, it was enormous how much natural gas they found, worth billions and billions. The Bible actually says, I don't have time to take you there, find it on your own. The Bible actually says that one of the reasons that these countries will come against Israel is for the spoils, for their natural goods. All right, now listen to me. He says, "I'm going to put a hook in your jaw." You know what that hook I believe is? The natural gas in Israel and the wealth of Israel. And then he turns around and he says, "And I will lead you out with your armies and horsemen all splendidly clothed." Underline the word splendidly clothed. How can a country with so many sanctions against itself by the U.S. government and by the Europeans come out in an army splendidly clothed? I showed you in the news where the news on MSNBC and on Wall Street Journal and Fox and the national governmental news and Homeland Security and the military website for the United States, that they say that Russia has been selling nuclear weapons to Iran. Now, I'm going to get mad, so just bear with me for a moment. We are the fools who gave Iran $150 billion. And they called us the great Satan and Israel the little Satan. Thank God we got our money back, at least some of it. But here's the problem. You go Google, you go Bing, you go to YouTube, and you punch in Iran and the word death to Israel. I just showed you in the news where their number one objective is to destroy Israel. Now, you can call me a redneck, you can call me a fundamentalist, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but I firmly believe that Israel has been and always will be a political entity in the Bible. It is not an allegory only for the church of Jesus Christ today, but Israel is his people, and the people who bless Israel are blessed, and the people who curse Israel are cursed, and you can't show me in the Bible where you come up with any other logical explanation that God, other than that God says Israel is my people, and they've been fighting for 5,000 years, folks, over that little piece of property, and that the whole world today is worried about a piece of property the size of New Jersey. And one thing we'll do as long as I'm the pastor is we will support Israel. Somebody that's behind me, say amen. And those of you that don't want to support Israel, enjoy your poverty. And you can't prove, but I'm being facetious, but you can't take your Bible and prove to me otherwise. Because now the Bible begins to use the word Israel again, but in a different term. Watch this. It goes on to say that Persia and Iran, now notice Persia is the first one that comes out after hooks are put into the jaw. And that means Iran is listed first because it will lead the allies of Turkey, Sudan, Jordan, or Ethiopia. And it will lead an invasion against Israel for their natural resources, the spoils. That will be the hook God will put into greedy people's jaws. But then it says that Gomer, which is Germany and Europe and some of Galatia, Turkey, and many people with you, it's interesting, Turkey's a member of NATO. He says, prepare yourself and be ready in all your companies that are gathered about you and be on guard for them. So the Bible literally tells you that it will be Russia that will be the guard for Iran's invasion of Israel. And argue with the Bible, argue with the newspapers. It goes on to say specifically, guys, in the latter years, Russia, Iran, and Turkey will come into the land of those brought back from the sword. Now watch this. When did Israel get kicked out of its land? First time, 586 BC, Nehemiah, they had 70 years. Daniel says for 70 years you're going to be in bondage to Babylon and to Persians. 70 years. Do you know, folks, listen to Pastor, that the Bible predicted that to the exact year? Let me tell you what I don't have time to talk about. You go Google it. That the Bible also predicts that after they get kicked out again, the exact number of years it would take for them to get to coming back to Israel as their land. And the Bible tells you the exact number of years it would take them to reach May 14th, 1947. That's the power of the book that you're holding in your hand right now. Now, watch this little word. In the latter years, Ezekiel 38, in the latter years, you, Russia, Iran, and Turkey, will come to the land of those brought back from the sword. So this cannot have been fulfilled in a preterist viewpoint because Israel has been brought back to their land and they were away from that land for thousands of years. So there goes Antiochus, there goes the Maccabean revolts, there goes any other person you want to contribute here. Now watch this. And gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel. Look at the next words. Which had long been desolate. Which had long been desolate. which has long been desolate. There's no way this is preterist. There's no way it's idealism. It's no way it's historic. This is futurist. It has to be. And then he says, they, the children of Israel, were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. So it's a time of safety. But watch this. And as Israel dwells safely, and there's another scripture that says, with no walls. In AD 70, what took place in Israel? They destroyed the walls. There are no walls since AD 70. And it says in Ezekiel 38, 1 through 10, you will ascend at the end, coming like a storm against Israel, and you will cover the land of Israel like a cloud, you and all your troops and many people. And then Ezekiel 38 and 7 says, you will have a guard, and that guard will be Magog. Russia will be your guard and the one pushing you to be so hubris and attacking Israel. And then it says this guard will protect you from international sanctions and provide you weapons and technology. It's what the Bible is saying here. But look at Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 11. And notice where the Bible says Jerusalem at this time will have no walls. And notice where it says that Russia will be the one that will lead the attack with Iran, lead Iran in the attack. It says, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. Right here in the Bible. Then it says, they are again inhabited. Look at that verse in Ezekiel chapter 38, 11 through 17. There's a phrase that says, they are again inhabited. Talking about Israel now being a nation. That only took place in May the 14th, 1947. And against the people gathered from the nations. In other words, there's other nations coming against Israel. And then it says, very interesting, that you have acquired goods and livestock who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Saudi Arabia, Dedan, Kuwait. Saudi Arabia and Kuwait will not join in the invasion against Israel. Maybe England, which is crazy, but if you go to England, like I'm going to school in England, Islam has actually almost made it unsafe in many ways. Five Islamic fundamentalists from ISIS were found at my university where I'm getting my second doctorate. It's crazy. Now watch this. It says that Canada, Australia, and the U.S., these providences, will say to Iran and Russia, Jordan, Ethiopians, these words, have you come to take the plunder? 5 years ago, people said, what plunder? And then it says down here at the end, out of the uttermost parts of the north, which is Russia. Even go Google the fact that Russia now is claiming the North Pole is theirs. It's the uttermost part of the north. And then notice what it says here. It says, in the latter days, far from the time of Ezekiel, I'm going to vindicate my holiness, and you, Gog, the leader of this mess, whom I've spoken in former days, Ezekiel 38, 11 through 17, I've spoken in former days by my servants, the prophet of Israel, that I, God, would bring you against them. That's not past tense, that's future tense. Now look at Ezekiel 38 and 18 through 23. And I will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord, that my fury is going to show on my face. Now folks, I want you to think about what I just said to you. Right now we're under a dispensation of grace, but there's coming a day over Israel that God says, you're going to see how hot I am right now. Now how many of you would not like to see the fury and the anger of God? The Bible just said that Iran, Russia, Sudan, Ethiopia will see the anger of God. What bothers me is the silence of America in the scriptures, and that means one of two things. It means that America's far left agenda finally won out, and we lost our country to a bunch of liberal nuts. Don't write me no letters. I'm going to grill hamburgers just like you. Or the rapture has taken place, Kenny. You are never going to convince me that America will not stand with Israel as a nation as long as there are Bible-believing people in this country. So the only thing, I get goosebumps talking about it, the only thing that's probable is that we've been taken out. And we haven't been taken out by a machine gun. We haven't been taken out by viruses and pestilence. We haven't been taken out by a nuclear bomb. We've been taken out by the hand of the Messiah himself, who met us in the clouds of glory, and our loved ones who in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those of us who remain shall be caught up, as so shall we ever be with the Lord. Honey, we're going to be in a 7-year party. And if you're not saved, you are the one in trouble. You don't hear preaching like this anymore. Eddie, I grew up like this. I grew up with the saints saying, you better live right because Jesus is coming back. I grew up with saints who would hold the Bible up and say, this is true. I grew up with saints that said, Israel is God's chosen people. I grew up with saints that said, one of these days, God's coming back for us, and we're not going to have to suffer in this world very long. You know what? Some of the things in the old school were right. That's good preaching for a white boy. I got to close. But God says in Ezekiel 38:18, I'm hot. In Ezekiel 38:18 through 23, at the end, he says, I'm going to show you. Whew. Let me tell you something. When God starts becoming unmerciful again against the wicked, you don't want to be around. But it's not because he hates you. It's because he wants you to repent. And the thing that I will never understand to my dying days about theology is how, when we get to this place, right after this, or sometimes during this great tribulation, not the tribulation, great tribulation, I think it's very likely we're in the part of the tribulation right now. I don't know. I don't believe we're going to be here for the whole tribulation. But the signs are on the fig tree, folks. I don't understand how people, when they know genosko, know, K-N-O-W, that it's God bringing judgment to the earth, they take their hand and they shake it and they curse him. I'll never understand that, Joey, to my dying days. I have a friend, I'm going to tell you this real quick. His name was Dave Reaver. He's a military hero. And Dave told me one day, we was driving to a school assembly, and he talked about how one of his best friends was in charge, Ray, of the black box on airplanes. He was the one that would always hear first the screams of the people and the pilots when a plane went down. And I looked over to Dave and I said, Dave, I said, I bet you heard a lot of praying. And Aaron, what he told me broke my heart. He said, you know, I said the same thing to him. He said, and he looked at me and his face went white. He said, you would think that what I would hear would be lots of people praying and asking God for mercy. He said, but I've never heard such cursing, such immoral language, such hatred and bitterness in all my life like I hear from a man going down about to die. There's something so arrogant about the human heart, folks. But the Bible says that Ezekiel 38 says, you're about to know that I am God. Go to Jeremiah quickly. I don't want to keep you any longer, but go to Jeremiah 49. Let me show you something. What we do know in history, biblical history, is that America has been neutralized at this point. I believe that's high probability for a rapture, or the fact the left and the nuts on the left took God out of our culture. But when you look at Jeremiah 49, look at what he says. Chapter 49, verse 35. Jeremy, come on up, buddy. He says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, God says, I'm talking to you, big boy. Behold, I shall break the bow of Elam. the foremost of their might. Against Elam I will bring the four winds and the four corners of heaven and scatter them towards the wind. And look at the very bottom of that. It says, in the last days it'll come to pass, and I'll bring the captives of Elam to the feet of Israel. Makes me glad I'm a tongue-talking, born-again Christian. Folks, I know a lot of people don't believe in God anymore, but they don't know the Bible. They don't know the history. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go, as I close, to Matthew 24. Do you know what really bothers me? Go to Zechariah. Before you go to Matthew, just give me one more second. Go to Zechariah, which is, you have to realize, the books of Ezekiel, the books of Jeremiah, they're called the prophets for a reason. They predict, prophesy future things. Look at what Zechariah predicted. Zechariah, I know it's hard to find. It's near the end of the Bible in the Old Testament, before the book of Matthew, a couple of chapters. And look at Zechariah 14 and go to verse 4. It says, after the end of Ezekiel 37 and 38, we don't know how many years, we know that what's going to happen is that Israel will repent and call out to God, because a leader during the great tribulation named a capital A, the Antichrist, is mentioned in 1 John 2 and 18. Will ask them to bow down and worship him, and they will know that Jesus was the Messiah. Now that seems like a stretch, but so did Russia coming back too, folks. But it says that Jesus will land on the Mount of Olives. And what's so interesting, go Google Mount of Olives and crack, and you will notice that there is a crack in the middle of the Mount of Olives. I've just stood on it twice in 2 years. That the right kind of earthquake will cause the Mount of Olives to split in two. Geologists say this, not me. And the Bible says in Zechariah that Jesus, when he comes back to fix this mess we've just talked about, will split it half when Jesus puts his feet on it. But you want to read something frightening? Everybody's a Christian, say amen. Now read this with grace, because you're not going to be here. Zechariah 14 and 12. This will be the plague for those who come against Israel. Now, listen to Pastor just for a minute. Look at me. You have to realize that the people who are writing this have never seen a Black Hawk helicopter. They've never seen running water. They have no idea what electricity was. We all look like a bunch of freaks to them the way we're dressed. They've never seen electricity, never seen a skyscraper, never seen a military warhead, never seen an atomic bomb. And they're trying to use, in this case, BC language for things that are happening in the 21st, 22nd century. And so he says there's going to be a plague, which the Lord, Adonai, strikes all the people who have warred against Jerusalem. It doesn't get any plainer than that, folks. And look at what's going to happen. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet. You ever seen the pictures of Hiroshima or Nagasaki? You ever read 1 Peter? It says the world will end when it explodes in fermented heat. It says their eyes will rot in their sockets and their tongue will rot in their mouth on the day of great panic from the Lord. But if you're saved, go to Matthew 24 and 6. It says, when you hear these wars and rumors of wars and all of these things, if you're saved, say amen. Don't worry. As a matter of fact, the Bible actually says, see to it that you are not alarmed. The Greek word alarm means don't get disturbed, don't get terrified, don't get in your trouble in your spirit. Do not get annoyed by the news. Don't cry out in tumultuous ways. That's the Greek word here, because God has it all under control. You look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18. It says, oh, and by the way, when these things happen, encourage Encourage one another with these words. So here's my encouragement for you as we close. Number one, it ain't over till God says it's over. Number two, when you're saved, you ain't got anything to worry about. He built a boat for Noah. He turned around and built the land of Goshen for the Hebrew people out of Egypt. And there's no way he's going to let you and I die by the judgment of God upon the earth in any different way than to take us out. Somebody say amen. Number three, you make sure you understand that how you live matters, and that there is a God, and it's not Buddha, it's not Muhammad. You can kiss a Shinto shrine until your tongue falls out. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ, who on the third day rose again, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and is sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and me. And he's going to get rid of sin. He's going to get rid of cancer. Oh God, I can't wait for that day as a shepherd. He's going to get rid of pedophiles because he's going to remove free choice. But when he removes free choice, he's going to remove my choice to say yes to him. There's coming a day when everything shall be final, but he's not getting rid of humans. You will live somewhere forever. When Alexander the Great ruled the known world, you were not. When they put the Statue of Liberty in the New York Harbor, you were not. But there will never be another day when you will not be. You will spend eternity in heaven or hell. Not because of God's unmercifulness, but because of your stubborn, hubris, rejection of truth. The gates of hell are closed from the inside by your tongue. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day of mercy and grace. And if God has got Kevin, 3,500 years of history, right? I wouldn't be betting against the next 10 years. So I have a question for you. If you're not saved, lift your hands and say, God, pray for me. I'm not going to come every head bowed, every eye closed. You just stand there, worship the Lord. You obey the Holy Spirit this morning. I'm not going to come against you because I don't play those kind of games. It's all about free will. But if you're not right with God, I want you to lift your hands. God laid you on my heart early this morning when I got out of bed and said, today somebody's going to give their life to me. On the count of three, if you're not right, put your hand up, put it right back down. That's all you need to do right now. One, cowards stay seated. Two, fools don't say a word. Three, put your hand up, put it right back down. I see the hand. Now here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I'm grateful for your mercy. I believe your Bible is the Word of God, and I will live by it. Thank you, Jesus. I now am saved. And for those of you that are saved, go cook your hamburgers, get a bag of popcorn, because he's got it all worked out and there's nothing to fear. Somebody give God a shout. It's a great time to give God a shout of praise. You can live in a secure world in an unsecured world when you're saved. Every lady, will you stand and lift your hands? I bless you with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. Every man, will you stand and lift your hands? I bless you as a priest of this house with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. Will all of you lift your hands? Now may the Lord bless you this Memorial Day and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look upon you with favor. May the Lord give you the peace of shalom. And may he give you the ability to cook perfect burgers and ribs. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And everybody said, amen. I love you. God bless you.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.